Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses were very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. I just wonder how you would have felt if you'd have been one of those three.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And God said, called their name, said, "Y'all three, come here." Every time I ask somebody to come in the office, they always tell me, "Preacher, what have I done?" I said, "Well, as far as I know, nothing, all right? But just think of as God asks you, all right?" And verse 5, "And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, 'Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye yet not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?' And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." I want to bring your attention, if I could, back to verse 3, where the Bible said, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." All right? Above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. You need to understand something, okay? You need to understand that the declaration there about Moses is the statement from God, all right, about his servant Moses. This is the word of God. This is God's testimony to the character and the conduct of Moses. And what a wonderful thing to have God say something about you like that, all right? But the timing and of this declaration is kind of revealing also. This is said about Moses after he's endured some very difficult days. He has faced criticism. Boy, has he faced criticism, all right? Just to say he had faced criticism is an understatement. It wasn't just once, but it wasn't a little bit, but it was rounds of criticism. You read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, to where we get here, and over, they're criticizing Moses. Again and again, it's, "Moses, why'd you drag us out here to kill us in the desert," all right? It's just laying it on and laying it on thick. But now, it's coming from maybe the most difficult source to take it, that criticism, because coming from his own kinfolks. Look, if you will, there in verse 2. All right, "And they said, 'Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?'" Hey, this is the words of Miriam and Aaron. Now, I remind you, that's Moses' brother and sister. Okay? That's his brother and sister, and they're really what they're doing is criticizing Moses. They're coming out and saying, "Look, it's not just Moses, all right? God hadn't just spoken by Moses, but he's spoken by us too, all right? His own kinfolks are now criticizing him, all right? Hey, wait a minute. These had been some of the best supporters that he had in times past, but not right now. Not right now. Here they come. Something's changed. Something's changed." You said, what has changed? I'll be honest, I think the only thing you can, when you read through and analyze all of it that's there, probably the thing that brought it on was envy. Envy is a terrible thing, because envy gets into you and it'll ruin you, all right? But whatever the reason it was, this experience really gave the Lord a chance to bring to prominence the great meekness of Moses. Now, I just want to speak to you just for a little while tonight about seek to be meek. All right? We need to seek to be meek. I want you to see this. Hey, meekness is the strength to hold your tongue when you're attacked with unjust criticism. Meekness is the strength to hold your tongue when you are attacked with unjust criticism. Yes, I did say strength. Strength, all right? It's often been said, still needs to be said, that meekness is not weakness. Not weakness. Most of the time we think of somebody being a meek person, we really have a tendency to get the wrong impression. Think the wrong thing. Meekness is not the mousy kind of individual that never speaks up or never ruffles the water or never does anything. No, meekness truthfully is a real strength. Weakness is what turns your tongue loose. All right, it's not strength. It's not strength that cuts your tongue loose and causes you to take your tongue and give somebody a tongue lashing, all right? That is not strength. It takes strength to control that tongue. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, for one thing, you notice where it's at. God put your tongue in a place he did everything he could to help you. The Bible over in the book of James says some real tough things about your tongue, all right? Even to the fact it can be set on fire of hell, all right? You can take that tongue and you can crucify somebody. You can do more damage with your tongue oftentimes to people than you could with a 2x4, all right? People do it all the time. But God put it behind two guards. He put it behind your lips and your teeth. And then as somebody said, he put it in a pool of spit to keep it cool, all right? I mean, God put it somewhere to help you, all right? But it still takes strength, right? Because the natural tendency of man is to lash out at somebody, especially when you're attacked. There's our natural tendency is to, well, let me just give you a piece of my mind. Now, be careful. You may not have that many pieces to give, okay? So be careful about giving somebody a piece of your mind. We want to do that. We want to return in kind. Somebody attacks us. Well, let me just tell you, all right? And here we come back at them. And we get going, all right? I just want to point out to you, that kind of thing never, never makes anything better. Never makes anything better. I got a good friend call me last night. They're concerned. They had a funeral today for a little 2-year-old that drowned in the family pool. And this friend that called me, the one that drowns, kin to him, and they told me, said, Brother Marlon, I'm a little bit afraid it's going to break out and everybody's going to blame the other one for why this child drowned. And it's going to be, if you hadn't been doing this, you'd have been doing this instead, that wouldn't have happened. You know, you can do that kind of thing, but you just tell me what that'll ever help. Just tell me how anything like that'll ever help. It'll never change the situation. By the way, I don't think it'll make the person that says it feel any better. It won't make the person that's directed against feel any better. I mean, there's some things there's no reason for it. And one of the things that you want to see the strength of meekness and the meekness of the character of Moses was his ability to control his tongue when he was attacked from other people. He had the ability to do it, all right? He had the ability to just keep his mouth shut, all right? When you answer, it'll never settle the difference that caused by the criticism. It'll not settle the difference that caused by that criticism. I don't care how well reasoned your argument is. It won't solve it. It'll not settle the question, all right? What we need is that strength to avoid attacking the critic. To avoid attacking the critic, all right? One thing you could never, never have accused President Trump of is meekness. Never been accused of that, all right? I mean, that wasn't one of his characteristics, okay? By and large, though, most of us, we don't have too much of it because when we're attacked, we want to come back. We want to come back. But as a great characteristic, you want to see the strength that he had to hold his tongue when he was attacked. When he was attacked. Hey, it goes even beyond that. I'll get to it in a little bit, all right, before we get through. Second thing I want you to see is meekness is really humbleness that doesn't strut your arrogantly your calling or your position. Humility in our day is not on display very often in the world. It's just not something we see. We don't see a lot of humility, okay? Instead, what we see is the opposite of that. We see the opposite of it. Now, we shouldn't really be too surprised by that kind of conduct in the world. People that want to gloat, if you will, over their position, or people want to point out, look where I am, and you're under me. You're an underling, you know. Or my calling, you know. Somebody may want to come about it. There's plenty of arrogant folks that want to make sure you know that they hold a position superior to you. Tons of people in the world today weren't built that way. All right? Tons of people in the world. It's amazing to me, some people, they'll get on, and especially these famous people, they would get on and tell about, you know, hey, boy, everybody's just equal and all of that kind of thing. But when they treat you, they don't treat you like you're equal. They would not treat you like you're equal. Well, Moses had the humbleness that he didn't go around and arrogantly display his calling from God or his position that God called him to. And remember, it is the position God gave him. Moses did not come looking for the position. He didn't see it on a bulletin board and send in his resume. All right? He didn't do that. God called him. God came looking for Moses, spoke to him out of that burning bush. All right? God did the calling. Moses tried to backpedal. You remember? Remember the humbleness he had? He said, wait a minute, you got the wrong guy? Slow speech, all that kind of thing. He had a lot of answers that he thought were perfectly good. But God said, no, you're the one. All right? But yet we see people today, in the world's realm, they don't have any of that humility. They're very quick to point out how they're superior to you. The sad thing is, that ought to never be seen in the Christian circles. Ought to never be seen, all right? The call of God is not due to any ability on your part. The call of God. God did not call me to preach because of my outstanding ability. He didn't do that. God didn't call Brother Dunbar to preach because of his outstanding ability, all right? None of us. God didn't do it. It wasn't our ability. God called us in our disability and said, I'll make you able. I will make you able to take care of that. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. I can take care of it, all right? He called us based on his ability to make us able, all right? Therefore, there's no reason for you, if God's called you, and God, hey, by the way, I don't want you to sit there and say, well, he's only talking about himself, Brother Dunbar and Brother Oftedoff. No. You see, God's called you too. God's called you too. He's called every one of us. Now, he may not have called you to preach. He didn't call you to pastor. He may not have called you to lead music. But some of you sitting here, God's called you to teach Sunday school. You've got a position, all right? And we could go on and on, but God's called every one of us for something. But there's nothing in that deal that ought to make us think, well, I am somebody. No, it's the amazing thing is God's ability to take nobody, to take a nobody and make somebody out of it. It's God's ability to do that, all right? Any position that we might enjoy that comes with any kind of prestige in the world today is simply because of the grace and mercy of God. It's because of Him, right? That He's, first of all, it's just because of His mercy that He'll even save us. Just, it's the mercy of God that He would save our soul. And His grace is extended to us, all right? That it's all God's doing. It's all what He's done on our behalf, and there's never anything that ought to make us think, I am really somebody. I'm really somebody. Yet, all of that being said, there's some folks in the Christian realm that seem to feel compelled to strut around, if you will, to draw the attention of man upon themselves. What's the wrong thing? Wrong thing to do. If God will use you in any capacity, it'll be cause for rejoicing. If God will allow you to take the gospel to somebody and see that person trust the Lord as their Savior and use you to win somebody, that ought not to cause you to crow about it, but it ought to cause you to stand in awe of a mighty God that He could use somebody like us. He could just use us. Moses had that humbleness about him. That was part of the thing that was the meekness of Moses. He didn't ever strut his calling. He never elevated himself. He never saw fit to say, man, it's me, you know. It's me. No. Hey, you and I are not to seek the adulation or approval of the world. But we're to seek God's approval. We're to seek His approval. And not to gloat over it. I tell you, I'd be so afraid to stand and start bragging on myself because I'd be afraid God would just say, you're going on the shelf. Well, what a sad thing that'd be. God help us to have that kind of meekness where we don't get to the point where we think too much of ourselves. How is it put there in Corinthians that comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise? That's all you do when you think, well, I'm better than him or her. I've got a better position, and God's called me, and he didn't call you. Be careful. Be careful. Hey, meekness. Meekness is that humbleness, all right? Meekness is that strength to be able to hold that tongue when you're criticized. Thirdly, meekness is faith to let God take care of your vindication. To let God take care of your vindication. We let God take care of us because He does so much better a job than we can. He can take a lot better care of me than I can take care of me. And we come to Him, all right? My Bible, like your Bible, if you got a Bible, all right? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, if we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. But that's His job, all right? That's His job. It's not our job to think I've got the problem and I need to answer every critic that's ever come along. You can't do it, all right? You can't do it. I guarantee you any preacher, any pastor that served the Lord in an length of time has had people criticizing. And you don't always know it when it's going on, all right? Most of the time you hear about it later, okay? You just hear about it down the road, and by then there's nothing you can do anyway, okay? But it's a waste of time to try to answer every critic that can ever come out against you. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to vindicate yourself, all right? Hey, we're to trust God. We trust Him with all sorts of things, so we ought to be willing to trust Him to take care of our vindication when we're criticized and maligned by the world or by other believers, because that'll happen too. Moses was. I mean, here they came. And notice what happened here, all right? Notice what happened here. In verse 2, we see the Bible says, hath the Lord, you know, Miriam and Aaron Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And that's why in verse 4, the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. He said, you three, come here. We're going to have a little discussion. Really, there wasn't a discussion because God did all the talking. There was nothing to discuss. Hey, sometimes it is possible for me or you to spend so much time arguing to vindicate ourselves that we almost make people think, well, they must be guilty. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you spend so much time trying to vindicate yourself that people decide, well, he must be guilty. Can I say this to you? If your critic won't believe God, they'll never believe what you say. They'll never believe what you say. And God can vindicate you. You might as well let God handle it. Might as well let God handle it. And boy, God took care of it pretty quickly here with Miriam and Aaron. He called them in and he said, now listen, he said, if there's a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision or in a dream. But it's not that way with Moses. He said, it's mouth to mouth, it's face to face. Moses not getting, I'm telling you, I had a dream and God spoke to me out of a dream. Nope. Nope. God spoke to him, amen, it's mouth to mouth. I've said before, don't wait on the audible voice of God. You're not going to hear it. Moses did. I believe Moses heard that audible voice of God. And he spoke to him, all right? Hey, God straightened them out, and he said, you know, he's there. And it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, all right? But you look at verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us where we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. He said, why did God pick on Miriam and not do the same to Aaron? Now, there's a good chance because it was Miriam leading the charge. And Aaron's just following along and contributing, all right? And God dealt with it, okay? God dealt with it. God vindicated Moses. God took care of that deal. I guarantee you that crowd that later saw Miriam white with leprosy, they said, I don't think we're to believe her. Just don't think we're to believe her. Yeah, God's just speaking through Moses. He's not speaking through them. Hey, there's the meekness of that man Moses. But you talk about what carries it even further. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Let me remind you what's going on. Moses has been criticized. Moses has been maligned by pretty much the whole body of the nation of Israel on numerous occasions. Now it's Miriam and Aaron, his own flesh and blood. Verse 13, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Come on now, just stay with me a little bit. We're humans. Can't help but think a lot of humans would have said, Lord, would you heal her in a couple of days? Because it'd be good for her to get that. That'll learn her a lesson. That'll teach her. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Lord, take it off of her, but not too quick. That's the way most people think. After all, she deserves what she's getting. But that's not the meekness. The meekness says, Lord, heal her now. Heal her now. Don't let this go on. Hey, that's meekness in a person. I said you and I need to seek to be meek. We need to put that in us, all right? We need to have the strength to control that tongue that it doesn't lash out when you're criticized, okay? We need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful that we always have the humility that we ought to have, and we never try to exalt ourselves because of the calling or that God's put upon us, or even the way God has used us in any way. Listen, there's some of you folks sitting in here. You can sit down with a classroom of little boys and little girls and absolutely handle them just marvelously. I couldn't touch that in a million years. My version of handling them was with a yardstick and a chair. Get back, all right? I'm not worth a flip with them little kids, okay? I just couldn't handle them. Oh, now for just a little bit, but I mean constantly, week after week. Hey, God's gifted you, but man, that ought not cause us to gloat. Or anything else, that's just simply one way. We're to have that humility. Thank you, Lord, that you even consider using me. Meekness is the faith to let God take care of your vindication. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Let him do it. Just trust him. Just trust him. You don't have to take out a full-page ad. Of course, nowadays, full-page ad's only this big. And the newspaper, they've shrunk so much. But you don't have to take out a full-page ad, all right? You don't have to do that. Not necessary. Let God take care of it. Let me say this in closing. Meekness should in no way prevent you from taking a strong stand for God. Meekness will never prevent you from taking a strong stand for God. The meekness of Moses, who the Bible said was above all the men which upon the face of the earth when it comes to meekness. It did not hinder Moses in any way from taking a tremendous stand for God, all right? It did not hinder his zealousness for God in that incident with the golden calf, all right? Moses did not come down off the mount and meekly, as most people would say, now y'all shouldn't have done that. Man, old Moses took those tables of stone, he smashed them on the ground, and he laid into that crowd for their wickedness. Amen. He laid into them. Hey, that meekness doesn't hinder you from taking a strong stand for God. It didn't slow him from keeping his arms raised for victory over Amalek, okay? Didn't keep him doing it. It didn't make him think, well, maybe I ought to let my arms down. We don't want to completely destroy Amalek. No, he said, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm just saying to you, all right? Meekness in the child of God will aid you in your obedience and your service to God. It won't lessen you, all right? It won't take away from your strong stand at all. It won't cause you to back down on your convictions. Won't do that. That's not meekness, okay? That is weakness. But that meekness, it'll keep you out of squabbles you can't win. It'll keep you out of squabbles you can't win. There's sometimes you get in an argument, you're not going to win it, you might as well quit. It's impossible to win, all right? And oftentimes you lose more by getting in the argument. You lose more. You just do. It will help you to use your time more wisely than just fighting your critics. I remember reading in the life of Dr. J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris had plenty of critics. He had plenty of critics. And they were just after him. And Dr. Norris had a radio station, the First Baptist Church Fort Worth at that time had a radio station. And they were on, and he challenged those critics of his to a debate over the radio. And so he let them go first. And man, they took an hour and just, laid on him. Just opened up. When they got through, Dr. Narr stepped up to the microphone, opened his Bible, and preached a gospel message. Never tried to answer the charge that was leveled against him at all. And he just knew, hey, I've got an audience now. And I can preach to him. And he preached to him. It would have done no good for him to spend an hour fighting his critics. He wouldn't have convinced them. Listen, somebody who is dead set against you, you're not going to change their opinion by talking. Now, you might change it over time by action, but not by talking. And meekness in Moses was really his submissiveness to the will and the way of God. Just, Lord, you use me, I'll do what you want me to do. Listen, that's what you and I need. That is exactly what you and I need. We need that kind of meekness. That's the meekness that we ought to seek, okay? That is what we ought to seek. Do you have much of that? Are you more the person who says, no, I'll take care of you. You said that about me. You just wait. Let me have my chance. What's your situation? Would you bow your head tonight, every head bowed, never eye closed? Just want to ask you, what is that situation? I'm going to ask Ms. Noble to come to the piano and play softly. Hey, maybe you need to come. You just need to do business with God. Listen, it might not be in relationship to meekness. You might just need to do business with God, all right? And if that's true, the altar's open. Would you come? Would you come? Would you stand together with me tonight? Oh, let's sing that first verse, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Let's sing it out together, would you?
Have thine own way.
Would you dismiss us in prayer?